I'd like to invite you over to the book of Psalms, and we're going to go to Psalm 36 and verse 10. Psalm 36, verse 10.
Psalm 36, verse 10 reads this way. It says, O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening. We do thank you, Lord, for this time that we have to set apart the cares of this life, to open up your word, and Lord, to call upon you, to open up our hearts and minds, to hear from you. And Lord, that you would speak to us your wisdom, and Lord, that we would have your light and your grace in our lives, and that we would truly be the light you've called us to be to a lost and dying world, and that we would be the encouragement to our family and our church family, and of course, Lord, to the world. And so, Lord, do your will and your work in our hearts and minds. And Lord, may we be faithful to follow after you, and give us a hunger and thirst to do that. And that you would build Northwood for your honor and glory. Lord, we thank you so much for the visitors you've been sending our way. We ask that you continue to bless. We thank you, Lord, for the one that was baptized Sunday evening. May you just continue to bless. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is a long one, but it's The Loving Kindness and Righteousness of God to the Upright in Heart. And that was really there in verse 10. The loving kindness and righteousness of God to the upright in heart. Now, there's a difference, really, when you consider the upright in heart. Now, some theologians have the idea this may have been written during the time in David's life when Saul was persecuting after him, or when he was threatened by Shimei as he was leaving because Absalom had taken over the kingdom. But needless to say, it was a difficult time in his life. We have difficulties in our lives, right? We have challenges, we have trials, and we have tribulations, and things come up in our lives. But here's the thing, where is our hope? Where is our rest? And what are we looking to in life for our peace, really for the peace of God that he wants to give to us? And so we need to be focused on what the Lord is asking us to do. And that's the faith part. When things don't make sense and they oppose the natural realm, what we would naturally do, that we trust the Lord and walk in his ways. And when we do that, God meets us there to strengthen us to walk in his ways. That's how it works. We look at the word of God. We could do one of two things. We can say, that doesn't make sense. I don't have the strength to do that, so I can't do that, so I won't do that. But if I look at it from the word of God, that he's called me to that, because listen, it's not natural for us to be spiritual. What's natural for us to be is to be carnal, right? That's the natural man, the old man, but the new man is something different. And God says, if you will walk out by faith, right? Step out onto the water, as he called upon Peter, and don't look at the things around you. Focus, keep our eyes on the Lord and what he's called us to do. Well, then we will receive the loving kindness and the grace and the mercy that God has planned for each and every one of us. That's the faith part on our part, see, to not look to the things around us or what people are doing and not saying, but to look to the Lord and his word. So we're going to look at three things very quickly tonight, and that is the transgression of the wicked, secondly, the mercy and faithfulness of God, and then lastly, the danger and destruction of pride. And so that's the battle, really, that we fight, whether or not we're going to yield, and that requires humility and to humble ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, I need you. Pride says, I don't need anybody. Pride says, I'll figure it out myself. We can live life like that, but we miss the blessings of the Lord. So that's the choice. You can be a child of God and miss out on the things of God, or we can be a child of God and be the recipients of all the things that he has promised to his children. So verse 1, let's back up there and notice the transgression of the wicked. And what we're going to notice here is the cause and progression of wickedness. It says, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, notice that there is no fear of God before his eyes. So here's this is the transgression of the wicked, and that is that they say they have no fear of the Lord. There's nothing. They don't fear God, and they don't fear God because God is long suffering. He's patient. He's kind. But that does not mean he does not exist. That's a misunderstanding on the part of the lost people. They think, well, listen, and by the way, the Bible tells us that mankind loves darkness more than light, and that's why they get wrapped up and caught up, and that's why they want to be God. Well, God ought to work the way that I think, but the problem is God doesn't work that way. God is holy, God is righteous, and on top of that, and this is the amazing part, he has made a way to restore that relationship that has been broken by sin that we are contaminated with, we are marred with. And so, you know, you could say, well, it wasn't my fault. Well, the truth of the matter is, had you been Adam or Eve, we would have done the same thing. That was just the inevitable. God knew that. That's the heart of man. But God also made a way to, again, fellowship with him. And that's the beautiful part of it, that he wants us to have that relationship with him. So notice what happens here in verse 2. It says, for he flattereth himself in his own eyes. This is the transgression of the wicked in their own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. They are so consumed with their own ideology, with what they think, that even if it's hateful, they justify themselves as being right. Then notice they have also a lack of revelation of the holiness of God. That's something that we... That's a gift, really. When God reveals to us his holiness, that's what gets our attention. Oh, my goodness, listen, there is a holy and righteous God that I'm going to give an account to. You know, listen, the lost person thinks, I'm never going to answer. I'm never going to answer to God. I have drummed it out in my life. And by the way, the Bible says that when the wicked knew God, they glorified him not as God, and that's when their foolish hearts were darkened. See, everybody somewhere in life at the beginning, they have a different kind of a heart, and it will either be submissive to the Lord, or they'll listen to the things of this world, and it will become hardened, and it will become darkened, and we'll either have a regard and a respect for the things that are right, or we'll excuse the things that are wrong because we want to participate in them and we want to allow them. And here's the thing, listen. The lost world may not participate. You can have individuals in the lost world not wanting to participate in some of the debauchery and some of the abominable works that are taking place in our day and age openly and being promoted and pushed down the throats of toddlers today. And that's wrong, and being represented by what God calls an abomination. And what's happening is they're going to have a big accountability before the Lord, because the Bible says that it would be better for that person to have a millstone tied around their neck, thrown into the depth. It would be better for them than what's in store for them to offend one of these little ones, and they're doing that. And so what happens is somewhere along the line, so there are people that may not be involved in sin like that, but they don't mind that sin going on, and the reason for that is because it justifies them. I'm not to this degree. Obviously, I'm doing things that are not right in the sight of God, or what some people used to call good morals. I'm involved in something that may not be good, but I'm not as bad as they are. That's not going to wash before the Lord, and that's the truth of the whole matter. And again, they have a lack of revelation of the holiness of God and their accountability to God. Verse 3 says this, the words of his mouth, we're talking about the transgression of the wicked, the words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. They're not being upright. They're being deceptive. And you know, listen, when people are being deceptive, they end up believing their own lies. I don't understand that, but they've come to the place, and I've seen people like that, where you can look at them, and boy, they're just looking, they're not even batting an eye, and they're not telling you the truth. And yet they're all right with that. So notice what he says this again, verse 3. He says, the words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. Did you see that? Listen, this individual that is working iniquity by his words and the deceit that he has, the Bible says, listen, he has left off to be wise. That means he was once wise. He once believed there was a certain standard of right and wrong. He's left that now. He's left that and he's gone off to do good. He says, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to take another course. I like this course over here. I used to lean in that direction. I used to adhere to that direction. But now I'm going to go in another direction. Of course, that's away from the Lord. And notice this direction, verse 4. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. This is what he's thinking about as he's in bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. This is the individual that is walking away from the Lord. These are the things that the Bible says they are contemplating. This is what they're thinking about. Realize this, they've walked away from the truth. And that is because of a lack of revelation. They've made a choice somewhere. But you know, the Bible tells us if we pursue the truth, what will happen? We'll find it, won't we? We'll find the truth, right? We will find it. But if we've left off to do the right thing and to be good, then we are walking in a darker place. And it's not that God can't get a hold of us, but when we start resisting the Lord, then that's our choice, isn't it? And so God has given to us, and it all works together. He is sovereign, and yet he's given to us to make the choice. Didn't he say, choose you this day whom you will serve? And he was talking to his people when he said that, wasn't he? And so he does the same thing, certainly, for the lost world. They have the freedom to make that choice, to reject what God has said is right and wrong, and to go their own way. And so this is the transgression of the wicked. The second thought is the mercy and faithfulness of God. Notice verse 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. That means there's no end. The mercy of the Lord reaches into the heavens. That means if it can go that far, it can reach us. And so God's always merciful, and he's not willing that any should perish, but they have to make that choice. Notice verse 6 here. And again, this is a revelation of the holiness of God. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. He's the preserver. He's the reason why you and I are here today. I mean, that's the only reason. I mean, not only did he create us, but he also protects us. And there are things that we will see when we get to heaven that God has protected us from that we may not even be aware of. We maybe encountered some close calls in our day, but I will tell you this. There are some that we probably haven't even seen that God has thwarted because he is not willing that any should perish. This is the mercy of God and the goodness and the righteousness of the Lord. And so this is God revealing. And by the way, David, a man after God's own heart, here's the thing. David sinned, did he not? Yes. But he acknowledged it as sin. Yes. The difference is when we sin and we say it's okay. See, that's the problem. So we've got to be, listen, if we're not on the same page, so Lord, if we don't say, Lord, what you say is right, and what you say is wrong, we'll never be sorry. We will become our own gods and we'll say, well, I'm saved and it's okay if I do this. I know the Bible says not to do it. And the more we walk in rejection of the word of God, our heart becomes hard. And we're not able to yield and give God the right of way. Lord, I don't want to walk in my wisdom. I don't trust my wisdom at all. Not even a little bit. Because the Bible tells me that my nature is wicked. So if I am going against the word of God, I'm leaning to my nature. If I'm leaning on the word of God, I'm not leaning to my nature. And so this is important because as we say, Lord, I am going to give you the right of way, what we do is we are walking in the truth now. And God will help us with our infirmities as long as we're willing to say, Lord, I'm going to acknowledge at the very least that what your direction and your commands are true and right. Amen. And I'm not going to compromise that. If even when I fail, Lord, I love all your commandments, even the ones I don't keep. All your commandments are right whether I keep them or not. And if your commandments are right and I'm not keeping them, then Lord, I need you to call that to my mind that I might bring them and confess them before you and say, Lord, I don't want to walk in that way. What that does is it opens up the blessings of God. We honor the Lord in that and he honors us. So if we're willing to do business with the Lord and say, Lord, I want your truth in the inward parts. I want it in my heart. You know, when somebody has a heart for somebody, you know, you would see like these little, you ever watch these little guys wrestle? And I'm talking about like 7, 8-year-old wrestling, right? And I watched this one wrestling match, and it was a guy that was smaller, and you could tell, we would say that guy had a lot of heart. He won. He was the smaller guy, and he had a lot of heart. And listen, when God gives us a heart for him, nothing can stop us. Amen. Nothing can stop us because it's not our strength, it's God's strength. Amen. God sees that we have a heart for him and that won't stop us. And we can be victorious for the Lord and we can be found faithful for the honor and glory of the Lord as long as we're willing to say, Lord, your way is right whether I am able to do it or not. And if I'm not able to do it, Lord, I'm going to ask you because is it God's will that we be holy because he's holy? Does holiness mean without sin?
Yes.
It absolutely does. So Lord, I want to walk. Now, we know we're going to battle with sin, but that doesn't mean that we have to be habitually walking or excusing it. We ought to say, Lord, here are the areas of my life that I need you to bless, that I might overcome for your honor and glory. That I might be, in this area right here, that I might be holy in this area because you're holy. And you've asked me to be holy. So, Lord, I am bringing this. See, the problem is, the truth be known, sometimes we get caught in our weaknesses and we don't bring them before the Lord. So we can't ever expect God, or we bring them, Lord, help me, but nothing's going to happen. Well, doesn't the Bible say when you ask God for something, believe that you have it and you'll have it?
Yes.
So how about this one? Lord, I've got a problem right here, but I'm never going to overcome it. But Lord, bless it anyway. What is that for the Lord? Well, we're saying it's never going to happen. So guess what's going to happen? It's never going to happen because we're not trusting the Lord in on it. So, Lord, I'm going to bring it. And here's the best part. Ready? If you know you have an issue with a sin, a besetting sin, and we all do, right? God can give us the victory. And then when we have the victory, because we know we can't overcome it. And when we overcome it, we know exactly who did it. And now it's time for worship and praising the Lord. But we have to have a little bit of faith that God can do it. And then we start opening up a new avenue in our walk with the Lord.
Amen.
And by the way, it's his command. It's what he's called us to do. So notice verse 6, thy righteousness is like the great mountains, thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. He's the preserver. He preserves us. How excellent, verse 7, is thy loving kindness, O God. Why is David saying that? Has he not seen the loving kindness and mercy of God in his life more than once, many times? I mean, here's this shepherd boy out on the backside of the desert, in obscurity, promoted to the king of Israel, the people of God. No doubt he said, man, what am I? Who am I that God thinks about me? Therefore, because of God's excellent loving kindness, verse 7, therefore, because of that, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings, because he has seen something. But listen, if you've not proved it, you can't trust it. Isn't that the truth? If you have not proved something, you can't trust it. And the reason why anybody, any child of God would fail is because we've not proved God in the areas that he's called us to prove him in. That's the truth.
Amen.
Listen, you and I are going to stand before God and give an account for ourselves. Nobody else. Nobody else. You're not going to be any better off because somebody is not as good as you are. God has called you personally to walk with him and to be faithful to him. And if that's not the case, you will give account to him because of unbelief that caused us to wander around outside of the promised land instead of in the promises that he's called us to be.
Lord,
And so we've got to be willing to say, Lord, I don't want to just be on the outside wandering through life, and just because I'm a child of God, I know I've got heaven. I want to be victorious, and I want to walk and dwell in the land of Beulah that you've called me to.
Amen.
We sing about it.
Amen.
And by the way, listen, do you not think when God changes a life that the world won't see it? See, I think we've come to this idea of, well, it's all under grace and it doesn't matter what I do. You'll not find that in the Word of God, that God doesn't care about how we live. We don't have the light of the Lord shining in our lives like that. So God is saying, boy, listen, he says, if you will trust me in that, if you will prove me, you'll have trust. You'll have faith. If you will prove God, you will see faith. But you've got to do that personally. And by the way, you can't just listen to it. You can't just listen to it and go out the door and forget about it and do nothing about it. That's like taking I want to learn the piano and take a lesson and never practice. It's worthless. That's like trying to learn anything and never putting it into practice. Listen, our faith should be put in practice because that's when it works. So again, verse 7, he says, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, listen to this, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. How was it that Peter became a man of faith? Because he proved the Lord. Did Peter fail? Many times, didn't he?
Yes.
But look what God did with him. See, listen. Don't look at your failures. Look at how many times you attempt to prove God. Because if your failures cause you not to prove the Lord, we'll never get anywhere like that. We got to set aside the failures, put those things behind us, and look to the Lord that's in front of us and say, Lord, I'm going to prove you. And talk to the Lord. God has his own plan for every single one of us. Did you know that? And God will never put too much on us.
Amen.
So Lord, I want to prove you how you want to use my life. I want to trust you in the areas that you want me to trust you in. And don't take on everything. Just bring things before the Lord that he will show you he's working in our lives.
Amen.
So again, verse 8, he says here, they shall be abundantly satisfied. They're proving the Lord. They're trusting the Lord. These individuals shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, the Lord's house, the goods of God. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them. Who's doing this? Who's doing the work? The Lord. Thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. God brings that to pass. But boy, you can be on the outside. That's like being on a basketball team and never playing the game, just sitting on the bench. You don't really want to play if you're not telling the coach, put me in. You don't want to play. You're not interested in the event that's going on. Likewise also in faith. Do that with me, Lord. Do that with me. No, if we're just sitting there quiet, well, I'll just get through. You're not serious about your walk with the Lord the way God wants us, the way God paid for it. That's the truth. Listen, the Lord's getting ready to come back, and God's not wanting us to feel bad. He's not wanting us to miss out, is what the truth is.
Amen.
So nobody can do this for you but who? That's it. You can't do it for me. I can't do it for you. But God can if you'll ask him to.
Amen.
You just have to be, Lord, I don't want to walk in failure anymore. God, listen, is it not greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? Who's in you?
Us.
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The Spirit of God. And so does God know what he's doing? See, the truth is we've got to get our eyes on the Lord and on his promises and on his great faithfulness and on his great power and get them off of what we think we can do or can't do. That's where the Lord works. That's where we begin to taste for ourselves and trust for ourselves and see the goodness of God. Notice this. Let's read verse 8 again. They shall be abundantly satisfied. These people that put their trust under the shadow of the wings of God. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Did you see that? You're not going to generate any light that's worth seeing. I promise you that. It is the light of God that makes us light. We have to have the Lord working in our lives so that he might produce his light in our life. And what light is that? The joy that passes understanding, the peace. See, listen. There is no way that's going to happen unless we pursue the Lord. If we're busy in all these different areas, we won't ever experience. If these things are not important to us, you ever stop to wonder why the things of this world, the flesh, they can keep our interest, but the spiritual things, if we're not careful, we're falling asleep on? The flesh hates it. But when the Spirit of God gets involved, that energizes us. Amen. Then we'll have a hunger and a thirst. Do you think you had to coax Daniel to pray three times a day, or do you think he looked forward to it? And that's why he was able to stand when he was threatened with the lion's den. Listen, that's what God wants in our lives. So, verse 9. Verse 9. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness. Did you see this? And he's being pursued, but notice, oh, continue thy loving kindness unto them that what? Know thee. You see, it's one thing to know the Lord as Savior. It's another thing to know the Lord as the peace and joy and the supply. See, you can know the Lord as your Savior and not experience him in life as your joy and as your peace. We can memorize scripture. Listen, the Pharisees, did they know the Lord as their peace? No, they didn't. They didn't even know the Lord when he stood right in front of them. That's not the kind of testimony we want to have. Do you know the Lord is right in front of us in his word? Right there. That's the Lord is nigh at hand for you and I. He's made that for us. So that we can approach him and experience him. And let me finish up real quickly here. Verse 11. Let not the foot of pride come against me. That's what will keep us. I don't need the Lord. And let not the hand of the wicked remove me. Don't let them persuade you to go in a different direction. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. That's where failure comes. Spiritual failure. They are cast down and they shall not be able to rise. We don't want to walk in that way. Listen, it will enable us and render us powerless in the grace of God. And so if you and I will personally pursue the Lord, will we find him? If you and I call on him to make us a holy and a peculiar people, will he fulfill his promise? Is he true to his word? God wants his light to shine in this world. And guess who he's chosen as that vessel? You and I. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminder. Lord, may you stir up our hearts to seek you personally, that you might work and fulfill your will and your promises. And Lord, that we might truly be the royal priesthood you've called us to be, the light and the salt of the world that can turn and point people to you, that they might see your grace, not just in word, Lord, but in deed, that we might be doers of the word by your grace and power. Bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.